Churches are teams, among many other things that they are. And teams need what has been called glue guys. Or, if you'll pardon the term, glue gals. Glue guys are useful in sports. According to Shane Battier, who you probably do not know, and actually, even if you follow professional basketball, you may not know who he is. He had a 13-year career in the NBA after graduating from Duke, and won a couple of rings, and things went well for him. But he was a glue guy, and he wrote an article about being a glue guy in which he defines a glue guy. Here's what he says. A player who makes everything just work when they're on the court. Someone often responsible for organizing the family softball leagues, team outings, and resolving internal disputes. 3, often relied on to do the things nobody notices during games. We don't pay much attention to glue guys or glue gals. We don't want to be, most of us, glue guys or glue gals. We want to be stars. There's a whole star system set up in our society so you can be extra special, brilliant in something or another. And everyone wants to be the best. The problem with everyone wanting to be the best is that's not possible. Because whoever's the best, everybody else is not. So it's very difficult to have everybody be the best, unless they're exactly the same, which isn't true either, because we're as different as snowflakes a lot of times. Since the star system can't happen, but everybody's trying to be a star, many teams end up not being actually teams, but just a collection of individuals who happen to be in the same place at the same time, trying to do the same thing, but not very successfully. And when that happens, that team, quote unquote, is not going to win, which should be the point. For a glue guy or a glue gal, it is the point. The irony is, in order to shine like stars, as Paul says in verse 15 of chapter 2, where he says, be children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. But in order to be that, in order to shine like stars, many times we're not asked to be stars. We're asked to be team players. In chapter 2, we've already covered this a while back, verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. But then Paul says in verse 21, which is our current passage, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying at the same time, don't look out for your own interests, but he's saying, in point of fact, pretty much everybody does. And that needs to change. Now, he talks about that in terms of Timothy, and he makes it clear that he doesn't think Timothy is one of those who is looking out only for his own interests. But we are not even to look out for somebody else's interests as much as we are to look out for the interest of Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? Well, I'm going to start by giving you an example of a glue gal. And I get to do this because it's Valentine's Day, and I'm standing up here. This week is Valentine's Day. Close enough. So I'm going to talk about Susan for a minute, and she's going to have to live with it. Susan works at the University of Delaware in the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, and she is the assistant to the chair. She is not one of the professors. She's not one of the technicians. She's not one of the student advisors. She's not one of the students. But she is one of those who makes the place work. And if you would doubt me, I would just probably get a few of the faculty in And they would tell you, yeah, she makes the place work. Without her, we don't get much done. And that's what being a glue guy or being a glue gal is. Somebody who makes the place work because they're willing to do the things that nobody else is willing to do. Churches need glue guys. Churches need glue gals. We need people who just want to make the place work in the name of Christ. And they don't really care that much what they have to do in terms of position or honor or rank or notice people really being aware that they're doing it. They just know there's a job that needs to be done and somebody's got to do it. Do you know someone like that? Are you someone like that? Paul was a star. But Paul wouldn't get the work he got done without a team of people around him. Because team players build sticky churches. In the next section of Philippians, Paul is writing about two team players. One you probably know, his name is Timothy. The other you probably don't know, his name is Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus only appears in Philippians. Timothy is all over the New Testament after the book of Acts. He's in several of the letters, and he has two letters written to him that are in the Bible. You could say that Timothy was pretty much a star. He was kind of the person who was going to carry the torch after Paul had to lay it down. After Paul finished fighting the good fight of faith, Timothy was the next to jump into the ring and battle on. Epaphroditus, not so much. We don't hear about him. Now, Timothy actually was a glue guy, too. And I'm not trying to be hard on Timothy. I'm just saying that he's better known. And those who are better known have their own difficulties with humility and so forth. But Epaphroditus didn't have that problem. People didn't know him. He was just a messenger. He brought, in all likelihood, this letter to Paul. And he was going to... Well, actually, not this letter. He brought a letter to Paul from Philippians or some communication saying, we heard that you weren't feeling well. We wanted to be able to help you. So here's Epaphroditus. And then Paul sent this letter back to them by Epaphroditus. While the Philippians sent Epaphroditus, it seems as though they wanted Timothy to come back. It's hard to be sure about this, and I don't want to go too far into trying to attribute motives here that aren't really stated. But there's some stuff going on here in this passage with Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul and the Philippians that he's not saying. He's not saying why he's sending Epaphroditus rather than Timothy. He kind of alludes to a couple things, but whether there's some issue that the Philippians are dealing with that he thinks it would be better to send Epaphroditus for, we don't know. And we don't know why the Philippians appear to want Timothy more than Epaphroditus. It may be as simple as you would rather see your doctor than the physician's assistant, right? And you're feeling bad and you go in, you don't want to talk to the PA. You want to talk to the MD, and because you think that if you're talking to the MD, then you're really talking to the person that knows, number one, and it shows that you're being taken seriously, number two. So it may be what the Philippians were dealing with. It's true in international treaties. When you have a delegation from a country come, they're matched by a delegation from the country they're coming to, and everybody's supposed to get everything just right, or somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. And that's not a good thing in international diplomacy. Could be a really difficult, explosive reaction. So you want to make sure that you do that sort of thing. And we don't really know. But we do know that for whatever reason, Coach Paul has made the call for Epaphroditus. That's what coaches do. They make calls. And in the process, Coach Paul explains what it means to be a glue guy. We know in verse 25 that he thinks it's necessary to send back Epaphroditus. And then he talks about who Epaphroditus is. This is interesting because the Philippians already know Epaphroditus. They're the ones that sent him to Paul. Why is he telling them what Epaphroditus is and what kind of guy he is when they should already know? Well, again, you can speculate on motive. But for some reason, Paul felt that he needed to do that. He needed to indicate to the Philippians at least that he knew who Epaphroditus was and that he really mattered and could do what needed to be done. So we're going to focus on Epaphroditus. Because he is a glue guy. He is a team player. And team players, as I said, build sticky churches. I don't know. It must be all that glue ending up making things sticky. But people just stick together better when there are glue guys and glue gals around. I want to read a passage from the book Sticky Teams. I have Sticky Teams and Sticky Church here, but Sticky Church doesn't really lend itself to a good passage like Sticky Teams does. And they're written by a fellow who's been a pastor for a really long time out in California. He's an Evangelical Free Church pastor. His name is Larry Osborne. He says, "Sticky teams stick together. That's their defining trait. When faced with the differing agendas and clashing perspectives that every team must work through, sticky teams know how to deal with the issues at hand and still come out united in purpose and vision, with a genuine camaraderie, undamaged by strong differences." In other words, sticky teams are not only productive, they're healthy. And so are sticky churches. But you can't have sticky churches without glue guys and glue gals. They're the ones that stick with people, especially when times get tough. They're the ones that stick up for people, especially when there's divisions. The glue guys are the ones that try to bridge the gaps and put things back together. Paul just doesn't want Timothy and Epaphroditus to be team players here. He wants the Philippians to be team players too. In other words, Paul says, you seem to want Timothy, and Timothy's a great guy, and one day he'll probably be coming to you, and one day I'll probably be coming to you, but today, this day, I'm sending Epaphroditus to you. And he wants the Philippians to say, thank you. Okay. He wants them to be team players as well. He wants them to put the greater unity of the church ahead of their own desires. This is a challenge for us. We don't like to do this, except once we see the results. Because when we see the results, we may end up liking it a whole lot better. And if he wants that for the Philippians, do you really think he'd be any different with us or any other church? He would want glue guys and glue gals to build a sticky church that people come and join and feel part of. And the only trouble they have, the only difficult thing about it, was leaving. Now that's a sticky church. Which person came back to the Philippians was not as important as advancing the gospel amid adversity through unity. Now, everything I said in that sentence are things that we've already talked about in the series on Philippians so far. We've talked about the adversity. We've talked about the unity. We've talked about advancing the gospel. And we've talked about humility, which looks at others more than at yourself. Remember C.S. Lewis's definition. C.S. Lewis's definition of humility is not thinking less about yourself, but thinking about yourself less. So put all of this together, and you get sticky people and sticky churches. And I would think that that would be something we would like to see here, that we would like to be that kind of church. But to see that here, you know, you have to be one to see one. You have to be sticky, and then you notice sticky, because glue guys and glue gals aren't that quickly noticed. They kind of are behind the scenes a lot of times, putting things together that need to be put together, but nobody's going to say, hey, great job, yeah, you really did it. Many times they won't even be noticed. And it has to be because it's too important not to do that they do it. It's like Shane Battier was talking about. When you are on a basketball team, the people who make the shots and grab the rebounds are the guys that get all the glory, but the guy who dives on the floor after the loose ball doesn't. The guy who plays defense on the best shooter and just generally annoys that shooter until he can't shoot, they get noticed a little bit, but not as much. I mean, there are many things on the basketball court that are very subtle, very hard to see. This is like in baseball, the person who's willing to get hit by a pitch to advance a runner. This is in hockey, the guy who's willing to put himself in the way between the puck and the goalie and get hit. That's the guy who's going to help you win a game and maybe get into the playoffs and maybe win the cup. In football, you have all kinds of people doing all kinds of jobs, and some of those jobs aren't very glamorous. People don't pay attention to the offensive linemen, even though they're huge, unless they do something wrong. That's the only time they hear their name called or their number mentioned. But the rest of the time, they're doing glue guy work. They're sticking together to keep the quarterback safe and to make sure that their team wins. Your coach has sent you into the game. He's made the call. You know the play. You may not be the quarterback. You may not be the cleanup hitter. You may not be the all-star guard. But you've got a job to do. Will you do it? Because that will make all the difference between victory and defeat. What does a glue guy do? Glue guys stick with their teammates. And when I say stick with, I just don't mean stand alongside. I mean they really care what happens with their teammates. Epaphroditus really cared what was going on with the Philippians. In verse 26 of chapter 2, Paul says, he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. In other words, Epaphroditus didn't want to cause the Philippians a moment's discomfort, even if it was about his own discomfort. And that word, he longs for all of you, is something that Paul has already talked about. In chapter 1, verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It's the same Greek word. How I long for you. How devoted I am to you. You know, there is no book of Epaphroditus. You can look through the Bible upside and downside. You will not find the book of Epaphroditus. When Paul talked about Timothy, he called him a son. When Paul talked about Epaphroditus, he called him a brother, a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier, which is very nice, but it's not son. Epaphroditus was a glue guy. He is a team player. And team players stick with their teammates. They encourage them to stick with each other. They encourage them to become a team, not just that collection of individuals. whatever other reasons Paul had for calling the play he called, this was one of them. To help the Philippians come back together as a church because he's worried about them. Under the adversity they're facing, they're becoming divided. And the cause of Christ is not being advanced through them. So he thinks Epaphroditus is going to help get that done. Now, that doesn't mean Timothy wouldn't. It, you know, that's probably one consideration of many. But it's certainly true that we don't know who the leader of the Philippian church was. It may be the fellow is called Loyal Yoke Fellow in chapter 4, verse 3. Yoke Fellow might be a Greek word. It might be a name, Syzygus. If it is, it's kind of a really unusual one, if this is an actual person. There's also Clement and the rest of the fellow workers. Clement is the only one whose name is listed. Maybe he's the leader. But they get passing mention. The leader of the church, the leaders of the church get passing mention. Epaphroditus, for just a short time, gets the spotlight. Because they need him. They not, I think they do. He may not be the one they needed or the one they wanted, but he is the one they needed. What else does a sticky guy do, a glue guy, a team player? Leaves it all in the field. This is the guy who will, in a basketball game, you know, just throw himself off the court to grab a ball before it goes out of bounds. And wherever he lands, he has no idea. He may end up hurting himself. But he's got to get that ball. He's the baseball player who launches himself after a ball to try to make a catch and ends up ruining his ribs as a result. You know who these guys are. You know how much they're needed. But it's hard to leave it all in the field. However, Epaphroditus did. It says here, in verse 26, he longs for all of you in his distress because you heard he was ill. He heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. He didn't, but he almost did. And it's so significant to Paul that he comes back to it in verse 30 because he almost died. And he didn't just almost die just because he got sick on something. He died for the work of Christ. It may have been that he got ill, sick, on his journey to Paul, again, we don't know. But somewhere along the way, he almost died. Now that's laying it on the line. That's leaving it all in the field. And then there were the other ones. The ones who went into the Colosseum and faced the lions and did die. They left it on the field because the cause was too important. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews is back a ways in the New Testament. I want to read you one of the most stirring passages in the Bible. It's on page 852. Actually, it's Hebrews chapter 11, very end of it. He talks about examples of faith, the author of Hebrews does. And in verse 32, he says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms and ministered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured. And now the chapter turns. And refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. In other words, they could have gotten out of jail, but they didn't. They chose to die for the faith. All they would have had to do was renounce. And they didn't. Some faced jeers and flogging while others still were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. And then Paul goes on to say, these were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. We did. You have. And yet, for the sake of the faith, they left it all on the field. Now, when we're talking about our silly games, we call this hustle. We call this playing with your hair on fire. We call this a winning attitude. And the reason we call it these things is because your teammates are paying attention. They're watching to see what you'll do and what you won't do, how far you'll go and where you'll stop. Epaphroditus is the kind of team player that will take it all the way to build a bridge of grace between Paul and the Philippians, or to repair it, or whatever he was doing. Now, in this case, Epaphroditus did not die. His death was averted, and Paul was happy about that because, quite frankly, he had seen enough of death, I'm sure. He says here in the passage that it made him feel better. And I was thinking, yeah, it probably really made Epaphroditus feel better. But Paul says here, God have mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. You know, it just gets old watching people die. It just gets old watching people carted off to the Colosseum. It gets tough. People you know, people you've built into, you've invested into. Paul knew what it was like to lay it on the field and leave it there. And he wants the Philippians to respond in kind. He wants them to welcome Epaphroditus. He wants them to honor men like Epaphroditus for their sacrifice. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Everything in this passage, the first verse says, I hope in the Lord Jesus. It's not just I hope, but it's I hope in the Lord Jesus. And then one of the last things he says in this passage, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Almost died for the work of Christ, because it's all about Jesus. It always was. And so, Paul wants the Philippians to notice this glue guy and honor him because he has honored them with what he did for them. Too often, we take our glue guys and glue gals for granted. We should never. Not ever. What else does a glue guy do? Fills in the gaps. Risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me, Paul ends the passage saying. Epaphroditus' name actually means risk. It was invoked in terms of gambling because, as you can see in the name Epaphroditus, the name Aphrodite. And Aphrodite was the goddess of beauty, but she was also the goddess of gambling. So when gamblers were talking about getting ready to throw down, they would use this word, Epaphroditus. So Paul is probably making a play on words here. He's risking his life And he's doing it to do what the Philippians could not do. There was a gap. They could not get to Paul. They gave him money, but they could not be there. So Epaphroditus said, all right, I'll go. And he took whatever was needed, and he went and was with Paul until Paul didn't need him at that point, and then sent him back to the Philippians to be glue there. Epaphroditus had time to do what needed to be done. Wherever there is a need, the glue guys, the team players, are the ones that fill it. They are not necessarily the ones who are the most talented. They are not necessarily the ones who want to do the job the most. They are the ones who see that the job needs to be done, and they do it. Sometimes, just being there fills the biggest gap of all. The sports teams have an expression. They say, next man up, whenever somebody gets hurt. Next man up. You're next on the depth chart. You're in. Can you do as good a job? Probably not, or you would have been playing. But you got the job now. Do it the best you can. Next man up. There's a cost when you live like this. But if all do the work, all the gaps end up being filled. As that great philosopher Rocky Balboa said when asked, why do you want to marry my sister? Rocky said, she's got gaps, I got gaps. Together we fill gaps, you know? And that's what we do. Paul's ministry was extended through Epaphroditus, through Timothy, through Philippians, all over the world and to this present day. Not just by the stars, but by the team players. Will his ministry continue to extend? Don't wait for the stars to do the job. You do the job. Don't wait for somebody else to plug in the hole. You plug in the hole. Don't wait for somebody to spackle over the crack. You be the one to get the spackle out and deal with the crack. You do it. Don't wait. If it needs to be done and you see it, do it. Maybe there'll come a time when you won't have to do it because there'll be somebody who can do it better. And at that point, you just say, okay, great. What else can I do? But if we had a church full of people like that, if every church had a church full of people like that, can you imagine what we would get done for the kingdom if people just didn't care, just filled in the gaps? It would be awesome. So, are you a team player? The church needs you to get in the game and play hard and play fast. If you're not a team player, and you know in your heart you're not, learn from those who are. There are more around than you realize. Because before we need stars, or those who think they are, we need team players. All churches need more glue like you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to look at your word and to look at somebody like Epaphroditus, who is just basically mentioned in this one paragraph and then not much other anywhere else in Scripture. And yet, he sets a tremendous example for us that we need to think well, that we need to consider in depth. Because we need to be glue guys or glue gals. We need to be the ones who will stand in the gaps, or we will never stand together. We won't be able to make it. The adversity will be too tough. But if we stand in the gaps, if we're the glue, we can make it through. Together. In your name we pray. Amen.